This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Evolutionary Collective Conversations with Patricia Albert. The next evolutionary leap for humanity is a critical shift from individual to global consciousness. This higher level of development takes us beyond our individual self-concern into expanding capacities for unity, interconnectedness, evolutionary relating, and collective intelligence. Contemporary spiritual teacher and visionary Patricia Albert engages deep and probing dialogues with frontline luminaries shaping the next wave of conscious evolution. Please welcome Patricia Albert.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. It's Patricia, and I am here today with my brother, Jeff Salzman, and we are going to be speaking about What We Space, an integral inquiry into the nature of higher intersubjectivity. So I want to tell you a little bit about Jeff. He is an integral teacher, and he's the founder of the Daily Evolver, which is a wonderful platform that provides, I mean, Jeff has a skill and a passion around current events and an integral perspective. So it's probably the best place to get a real sense of what's going on in the world from a context that really includes many perspectives. And that's, you know, a rare thing to find anywhere. And he also, that platform of the Daily Evolver, there are courses and articles and various other things that he provides that are really pretty fabulous. He also created Boulder Integral and was one of the people that helped to get up underneath Ken Wilber's work when they were founding the integral world. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. I met him about 9 years ago when I was living in Boulder. I was very grateful to meet him. And he has an incredible amount of heart. I mean, when you know Jeff, you know, he's pretty humble. He's probably dying right now, but you know, he's very humble and is incredibly powerful. He's like super effective at everything that he's touched and done in all the years that I've known him. And I know he was very, very successful in the business world previously to that. And is from an integral perspective, he's the best of integral in my experience. He always holds that there's something valid in all perspectives, and there's a kind of love and connectivity that he exudes that is really palpable. So I really want to welcome you, Jeff, and I'm thrilled to have an hour to be in a conversation with you.
Well, thank you, Sister Patricia. It's always so much fun to be with you. It's so stimulating, and I'm eager to get going, too.
Yeah, totally. So we're going to want to look, and I really want to, you know, use your knowledge in integral, which is vast and complete and ever-growing, to really look at, you know, what we're calling the we space, you know, which seems to be on the emerging edge of where consciousness is moving these days. So for the first question is, you know, what is the we space, you know, coming from your perspective? What is this new... Yeah. Higher intersubjectivity.
Yeah. Well, let me just lay just a minute of integral groundwork because it helps answer that question. Okay. And we space is an irreducible dimension of reality. And that's a mouthful. But what it means is that human beings are evolving and the cosmos is evolving. This is really just key to integral theory. And although everybody who has a scientific bent understands that the cosmos has evolved and that atoms evolved into molecules and cells and organisms evolved into us, that integral theory also posits that we are evolving in terms of our individual consciousness as human beings through predictable stages since our, you know, becoming human, and that the we space, that is the space amongst us, is also evolving and has evolved from, you know, the dawning of humanity through these stages that lead us to where we are now. And there are people in the system now who are, as there always have been, at the leading edge of that development. And it's really interesting to look at what is, you know, really coming online in terms of the intersubjective world, basically, the world of our, you know, mutual understanding, the world of our collective interiors, our culture, our language, our ideas, how we relate to each other. And we see that human beings have evolved from, you know, if we look at tribal, it was the deep sense of community, a deep sense of initiation. What there wasn't a lot of at the tribal stage of development was individuation, or what we'd even call ego. Mm-hmm. So there's more of a true collective where the ego hadn't really evolved yet, fully at least. Mm-hmm. And then we move into this stage of development where, you know, it's basically, there's a we space, but it's basically based on domination. That's what we would call the red meme. It tends to be you're either a serf or you're in power. And this is the age of the great empires. And there's a we space there, too. Mm-hmm. And then we move into what we would call the traditional we space, or what is now what we call our social conservatives. And these are people who are religious, and everybody sits in a row and raises their hand. And, you know, a lot of our society is built on this just sort of order and conformity that is actually a great evolutionary achievement, mm-hmm. in terms of human development. But like all stages of development, at some point it becomes boring for a lot of people, and then we move into the next stage. And the next stage was what we call modern, or the orange meme. And this is where it's our relationships are based on meritocracy. And who knows more, and, you know, who can figure things out, and people who are, people are into self-expression, and, you know, this is a stage of development that came online about 300 or 400 years ago.
Kind of like New York?
Kind of like New York, exactly. You know, and I want to make it here, and I want to be seen, and I want to, you know, express myself and make an impact and be all I can be.
Right.
And, you know, people relate to each other on those terms very successfully, right?
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. And so, and then in the 60s emerged a new meme that we call the green meme or postmodernity. And this is a new stage of development where people became psychologized and became sensitive to their own interiors and to the interiors of other people. And so it's a stage of development where we want to bring in people who have been left out. It's the age of feminism and gay rights and ecology and animal rights and civil rights and peace and sitting in circles and everybody being terribly sensitive to each other's feelings. Again, a great evolutionary step forward. But at some point, for a lot of people, and I would guess that's true for a lot of people on this call, first of all, some people never get to that stage. A lot of people don't. But once you get what it has to offer, which is this deep sensitivity to other people's interiors, then you want to move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really next. This is what you're working on. This is what a lot of people in the integral world are working on. This is what a lot of people are working on. Mm-hmm. Is that what is this next thing? And just from a theoretical standpoint, if I could just use integral theory for a moment, what we would say is that the next stage, or what we would call the integral stage of development, it goes by many names, self-actualization, so forth, is, first of all, a integration of all the previous memes. So there is a deep community that wants to come online. There is an orderliness. There is self-expression is welcome. Sensitivity is welcome. And what's new is essentially the space in the sort of conscious awareness that includes them all. And then you have basically an identification not with any particular perspective or meme, but with the space within which you just become a more spacious person. Claire Graves, one of the developmental psychologists who did a lot of work in this area, said of people at this stage of development that they are the universal donors. They're able to relate and actually see the truth of all the previous memes, see what they have to offer that they often don't see in each other, and they're often at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's theoretically what happens. And then, you know, in the Wii space, there's just a whole new sparkle that comes mm-hmm. online. And in some ways, you know more about this than me because you're a master of it. And the evolutionary collective is really moving the ball kind of better than anybody I know in this field.
So,
I stop there and see what you might have to offer.
Okay. All right. I want to fill in a couple more pieces first. And I really appreciate the first, that first overview so that people, you know, because I think no matter how knowledgeable people are here, it's good to sort of clarify the points so that as we're working with discovering something new together, you know, we kind of know what we're working with. So just if you could do the quadrants as well, you know, so that there are, as you said, there are evolution is occurring, period.
Yeah.
It's occurring through different expressions. And the one that you just pointed to especially is that, you know, the way in which the space we relate to each other inside of,
yeah.
which is the intersubjective space, is distinctly different and has different potentials and possibilities depending on which of those developmental worlds you're living in, basically.
Yes,
you know,
right.
So, you know, if you're in a, if you're doing orange, which, I don't know, I had sort of a hysterical day yesterday. It was like billionaire day. It was, you know, people that were so, like, related to people that are so rich, you can hardly believe it. You know, like somebody who had a friend who literally had put together from Europe and, you know, had to get visas for these opera singers, had an orchestra and an opera in their living room.
Wow.
For 90 people or something. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're in orange.
Yeah, that's orange. That's the New York City vibe. That's the New York City meme.
Fabulous orange, right? And
yeah.
So, but inside of that, and then I was speaking with another friend who is, you know, kind of knows a lot of those people and a lot of, and you know, that sort of A-list vibe. I remember the first A-list party I ever went to in the Hamptons. I could feel all of a sudden I started like worrying about things. I could feel in my mind, all of a sudden it occurred not being good enough or, you know, there's this competitiveness yep. innately in the intersubjective atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah. It's actually palpable. This is if we get to talk about the quadrants that there's two ways we could look at that. One is the interior of how that feels.
Yeah.
To feel like you need to judge and be judged and all of that stuff that comes with that orange thing and how do I look and you know who's looking at me who can I look at and
all
that good stuff.
Write a best-selling book or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the what we would call the lower right quadrant. Which is that same thing, but it's actually in the exteriors. So it's actually a subtle energy, or there's a Swiss word that I love. It's called louche. And it's sort of the liquidity of the space, the milk of the space between us that is also, you feel it in your cells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actual substance, it's stuff. And we want to be aware of that too.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, and each of these stages has its own louche, has its own, you know, subtle energy dynamics, you might say.
And that's on the outer. So you're
yes.
saying there's the subjective.
That's real energy.
So the subjective experience is how one experiences oneself in the interior.
Yes, yes exactly.
Then there's the inner subjective, which is they say is the lower, you know, which is the next one, which has
yeah.
to do with how you experience your interiority in the space with another, right?
Yes.
So there's the shared space.
Yes.
Then there's the outer expression.
Yes.
Of your interior. So me as an individual, I might feel a certain way. And on the outside, I have a body. I look a particular way. I'm a certain age. You know, there's a physicality reality to who I am.
Right.
Correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the lower expression of the interior of the two of us together would be like society and the way that it looks like having a fabulous party with the opera in your living room.
It's the exterior of us together.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the party, it's the system, it's the, you know, room we're in. It's all of that good stuff.
Right.
And you know, the simplest way to look at it, the quadrants get a little slippery, but just first, second, and third person. There's an I have my own interior world that is my Jeffness, and it's mine alone. You know, I'm alone in here. And then there's the we space, or the second person, and that's the intersubjective world that we create together. And it's actually a new thing that we create together from the two I's that come together.
Yeah.
The two first persons, and then there's the third person. It's just the world or the system in which it all arises. And that's a simpler way to look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in looking at this leading, you know, where consciousness seems to be developing or where we're beginning to pay more attention, actually, you know what we're going to do? We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back and we'll start exploring kind of like the next piece of this. So I'll be back with Jeff Salzman in just a minute.
Have you ever experienced slipping into a state of profound trust in life? A time when you were open and free and undefended. The practice of meditation has long been known as a doorway to just this experience. In his new free ebook, Evolutionary Collective co-leader Jeff Carrera shares his deepest insight into the miracle of meditation. In 100 beautifully written and illustrated pages, Carrera shows you how to use the practice of meditation to enter into direct contact with reality and discover perfect and unbroken trust in life. To download your free copy today, simply visit www.ecdownload.com. That's the letter E, the letter C, download.com.
Something huge is happening. Over the past decade, spiritual teachers and visionaries have noticed that a new kind of consciousness is beginning to open. It's a level of consciousness, a 21st century awakening that only emerges through a new kind of relatedness. The Evolutionary Collective has been at the forefront of this emergence since the beginning. Patricia Albert invites you to go to www.evolutionarycollective.com to receive a free audio download and find out more. That's www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Hi, it's Patricia Albert, and I'm here with Jeff Salzman, an integral genius. So what we're looking at is, we've sort of gotten up to, is this intersubjective space, the, you know, quote, we space rather than the I space, that is the place that in the culture now, you know, moving beyond orange and the competitiveness, and then the in green, you know, a lot of what you're focused on is, as you said, kind of healing and making sure that there's lots of space for our, for the totality of who we are, our wounds, our truth, you know, being sensitive to ourselves and each other, as a big piece of that, and making sure that everybody has a voice. And then moving on to where life seems to be really innovating has to do with paying attention to what's happening between us at the integral level, or the, you know, yellow, turquoise and higher level.
Yeah.
And here's the part I found kind of, you know, that partially led me to this. One of the elements that really kind of was like, what is that? Is I noticed that when people were more evolved and developed, that it didn't necessarily mean that the way we were together was more evolved or developed.
Right.
You know, it wasn't lit up. You know, there was, like, you could be really awake, I could be really awake. And the way we were relating wasn't necessarily in a new dimension of what was possible between us.
Yeah. No, that's really true. It's often noticed that, Ken Wilber has an idea about it. He says that in the we space, we tend to operate a stage or two below what we do in the I space.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's what makes sense, because sometimes you'd be like, God, you know, you're with somebody who's so amazing. You know they are. And then there's sort of this subtle competition going on, or there's something going on. You're thinking, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, this is where the louche of the culture comes in. I mean, it's one thing in our own I space to sort of meditate and work on things and have a therapy and really get places. Mm-hmm. But the grooves of the culture are deep, and they're still orange. They're still green, depending on the culture. In a lot of the culture, it's still amber or blue, the traditionalists.
Mm-hmm.
And as we say, the center of gravity of your culture will tend to pull you up to it by age 18. So if you're born into an orange culture, you're generally going to get up to, you know, close to orange there by the time you're 20.
Mm-hmm.
But it also holds you back from getting further. So we just have to notice that and consciously get together and work on, so actually, how do we, as more evolved eyes, create a more evolved we?
Right.
And what does that even look like?
Mm-hmm.
And it's new. I mean, integral we space is going to be as different from green we space, which we're all very familiar with listening to these calls,
right,
as green is from orange,
mm-hmm,
or orange is from the traditional stage.
Totally.
So we have to sort of take that as, that's a given. It's theoretically going to be even more different. So, gosh, then what is that? And we have some ideas. I know you have some ideas. I have some ideas. And that, you know, I think, I don't know if it's first and foremost, but one of the main ones is that we get ever more comfortable with conflict and chaos together,
mm-hmm,
which is in these earlier stages that I'm talking about, green, orange, you know, so forth, every one of them, what makes them what we would call first-tier memes is that they all believe that their way of doing it is the only right way of doing it.
Right.
And that, and they all have a fantasy that once everybody becomes like me, so if, at a traditional level, once everybody accepts Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and Jesus, you know, then we're all going to be good. Orange, or modernity, says once everybody becomes rational, then, you know, we can sit down, figure these things out, we're all good. Green says once everybody realizes that there's one world and one people, and we're all here together, and, you know, once that happens, then we're all going to be good. Integral realizes that, in a way, that's not going to happen, at least not anytime soon. And actually, what is happening is that there is great conflict. There's these culture wars between these stages of development that are actually quite potent. And the conflict, if you look at evolution, it's from, you know, natural selection is one of the rules of evolution. And so you look at nature and you look at the fields and the forests and the owls and the mice and, you know, it's all big, you know, catastrophe out there.
Yeah.
And at Integral, we realize that we can accommodate that actually this is supposed to be happening, I guess, because of the way that you could put it. Because, as I say, these earlier stages all have some version of, and we can feel this in ourselves, we can see it in each other, this shouldn't be happening. Politics, religion, whatever it is, my in-laws, this shouldn't be happening. It's awful that it is. I can't stand it. Somebody needs to be blamed or condemned. And, you know, the beat goes on. We all know that tune.
Right.
At Integral, we realize, wait a second, conflict actually is potent. And so I know we just had this thing called the Integral Living Room, where we had 100 people come in to Boulder Integral, and we worked on this. You know, we had 3 days of processes around working on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we deliberately created conflicting situations, as you do in the evolutionary collective,
mm-hmm.
and then you actually like feel the thrill of it and say, oh my God, it's potent. You know, there's one thing that is for real, and that is everybody's on the edge of their seat. Everybody's paying attention. And then you can look at it and see, so, you know, where did we get stuck? What did I do? What was my part of it? Everybody's very, very cool. That's the great part, is that we get into, like, real heat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and real conflict. It's not pretend.
Right.
But then once it's over, we are able to, and this is what we call one of the characteristics of integral consciousness, is this what we call flex flow. We're literally able to take perspectives and not be so gripped and not just loosen up a little bit.
Right.
And then we can look at it and say, okay, I did this, you did this, and what fun is this? You know, so there's something about what mm-hmm. the next stage of We Space is. There are other things I could think of, but I'd stop and
yeah
see what you're thinking, because you are you know, as I said, doing the same thing at a genius level.
It's interesting, one of the things that I've seen that we're pushing, you know, the edge, one of the edges that we're pushing very distinctly, which is very, very different than, I know there are groups that are working with We Space practices, where in my sense of it is that there's a more dominant or green element, you know, of sort of
right.
personal healing and, you know, allowing people to become more awake and intuitive with, you know, seeing into other people and, you know, being able to reflect back, you know, who they are and how they feel and, you know, which is obviously incredibly important. But what we've been working with is, when people really are connecting from the deepest place in themselves, you know, so you create an opportunity where, like, the really deep, awakened, essential nature of that particular being is somehow connected with.
Yes.
And, you know, and we've been fortunate and graced in that we can pretty consistently have that happen with a large group of people, that as that deepens and you really feel, you know, just like with someone you deeply love, like, you know, they see you.
Yeah.
And depending on their consciousness, you know, they see you at ever and ever greater depth of, you know, the God self that you are, as well as, you know, your craziness and failings and whatever, is that when that gets very strong, I find that it holds the various conflicts, or it becomes almost less personal. Like, there's people's stuff comes up, but it's almost like what we're aware of is that we're riding larger patterns, which have to do with the collective itself.
Yeah.
So, for example, this is really interesting. I mean, you might find this interesting. Because there becomes more and more of a deep kind of telepathy, you know, there's a kind of attunement and telepathy that's getting stronger and stronger. We didn't realize this until, you know, until something had already happened and then we're like, oh my God, that's what that was about, is you don't realize that there's some deep part of you that probably knows or remembers some time in existence when we didn't really have to talk. And
yep.
that we really were so connected that we just really knew and saw each other. And
yep.
we were, right? So
yeah, for probably 98% of human history.
Yeah, well, and maybe before. You know, I mean,
yeah.
maybe some kind of innate unity that you know, that we remember.
Yeah.
And then sure. when you start to get closer to that, it becomes more so when there's a misunderstanding, which is a classic thing that happens in all groups, is, you know, like, all of a sudden you don't feel seen and you feel misunderstood, and then you feel like compelled to try to make sure that everybody understands what you really meant, and, you know, that whole thing. It's because that as you get deeper, you become more sensitive to that. It almost becomes more excruciating to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, it was fascinating. It was like, that was one of the things we were like, whoa, like, that's a collective pattern ignited by the fact that there's deeper and deeper connectivity.
Yeah. No, it's beautifully put.
And then how do you ride it? You know, so instead of then getting all busy with, but I said, you didn't understand, and you know, like all the ways in which you try to work that out in green, to actually go to a deeper place and hold, you know, the kind of momentary pain of not being seen or understood and not even get caught in that sort of briar patch sticky thing, because it's very sticky when that happens. And then all of a sudden you're back connected and something greater has expanded.
Damn right.
It's kind of cool.
Beautifully put. And I just add a couple thoughts to it is that when you get to that place that you realize, and this is actually a meditative truth, and this is actually an interpersonal meditation that we're talking about in a way. We're pouring our attention into each other.
Right.
Is that the pain is as delicious as pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in its own way, because you realize it's sort of the release of this energy and intelligence and surrender into a we space where it's not about me colonizing you in any way or dominating you in any way or influencing. It can be all of those. It can certainly be influenced, but you're also being influenced.
Right.
You're also realizing that, okay, it's like me working with my partner Terry in this living room. You know, he has these habits of having to have everything, all the ducks in a row, and the devil's advocate, and we have to look at all these positions, and it drives me nuts.
Right.
But what I've learned, and I'm just learning this, I'm 59 years old, it's like, why didn't anybody tell me this, is that when I actually, the annoyance comes up, that's a sign from God that I get to turn towards that pain instead of away from it. Mm-hmm. I relax into it rather than contract away from it. And I actually allow myself to feel and see what Terry's seeing and feeling.
Right.
And when I do that, through the gauzy mist of my own, you know, ability to see things, I actually get a hit of what it is that he, what antenna he has, mm-hmm. what operating system he has that I don't.
Right.
And that is like, hallelujah.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
That's a big thing, and it's, like I said, I'm just, in a way, learning this as a practice. I mean, I guess I always did it sort of accidentally or sometimes whatever, but to actually now work this as a practice mm-hmm. is,
huge.
As good as any practice I've ever done.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's really, I mean, human beings, I mean, talk about a practice. You know,
Well, and just to use each other as an object of practice so that, you know, you become, and I can feel it actually, Patricia, right now in this moment with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel a connectedness to you by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, you know, we have our wonderful history and wonderful friendship, but, you know, to just drink each other up in a full chakric way mm-hmm. is a practice.
And to have permission for that, you know, that's one of the things I've noticed that's so sweet, you know, in working with people and sort of inviting them, especially when you're doing like, you know, new people showing up, you know, I've never done this before.
Right.
They're so like humans are so happy to find out, like they're uncomfortable at first to be invited into sort of a deeper intimacy by paying attention to one another and what's actually happening between them, because you're sort of not supposed to. And then they just fall in love. It's like the beloved is everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly,
it's
pretty.
True.
I mean, part of me wants to like go teach in high schools or something. You know, I don't know, I'm sure. But, you know, that feeling, of, even though it's a developmental edge that can be held and sustained, you know, when individuals have reached something, there's something that seems to be universally desired.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And you realize that the space itself, we could look at this in terms of my eye space, which I work with in, you know, individual meditation on the cushion, whatever.
Yeah.
But also the space between us actually has qualities. And those qualities are, you know, for lack of a better word, a loving intelligence. There's a loving intelligence that is just that we're actually, what would we say? We're just manifesting within.
Right.
And these kinds of meditation, the I meditations and these we meditations that we're talking about, actually allow this light to shine in. It actually softens our boundaries so that we can be lived more consciously. I mean, we're living, and we have to, you know, be active livers, but we're also being lived. And God, what a relief.
But seriously, I'm just thinking now, too, of... you know, besides just the pleasure and the joy of the reality of a higher level of connection, it's also, I remember learning from when I was studying with Werner Erhard, there was this thing about that the first, and that when you create anything or you do anything, the first thing you pay attention to is the background of relatedness, like how much relatedness is actually there.
Yeah.
And when there's a lot of relatedness and the quality of it is, you know, there's trust and there's, you know, the various things that, that allow for the relatedness to be rich and deep and open and whatever, then what immediately arises from relatedness are possibilities. You know, immediately, it's like you have a great date, right? And you go, oh my God, you know, this is possible and that's possible. And, you know, we could potentially, and then, you know, I mean, you just can't help yourself the more related you are to see what's possible. And that from possibility comes up real opportunities and then comes real actions that you can take together. And I think for this developmental edge as well is that the deeper and the, in a more real way that we can get connected and create a background of relatedness that has real depth and is connecting on a much more profound level, then clearly the possibilities and the opportunities and actions and creativity and the things that we can actually do together for real will arise from someplace else.
Yeah. No, totally.
And I
well put. I think of... when you talk about a deeper, richer, there, one of the things, and I can even go back to some basic integral theory. When we talk about how we develop through these stages of development and into this new stages of development, we're developing in these various lines. So we develop cognitively, we develop emotionally, we develop somatically, we develop interpersonally. There are other lines of development, and ultimately, as Ken Wilber says, there are as many lines of development as things we can say about human beings. And so there's an assumption that we can adopt as a practice. I mean, maybe it's right and right, maybe it's wrong, but it's a damn good assumption. And that is, when we're meeting people, that there's some line of development where they're spiking into a genius. You know, I mean, I think of my friends who, I think of a friend of mine who's just a genius at having a family. She just, you know, any stray kid, they sit and they play cards and they laugh and they joke and they insult each other. And it's just the most warmest, wonderful fan. She's no June Cleaver. She's a powerful woman, bigger than life. But she just has this way about her. And so we were talking about family the other night, and she was telling me about how sad she was feeling about how young people don't value it like she does, and you know, how, you know, what some of the characteristics of it are and how she sees it and all of this stuff. And I could have a typical conversation with her where I, you know, I need to be heard about my ideas about family, too, because I think about family, too, and I'm from a family and I like family. And so we can have our conversation about family, and I can do that, and I did some of that. But I can also say, wait a second, I'm in the presence of a genius here. And I want to actually just sit at her feet like I would sit at the foot of any master. And I want to be really curious and get whatever transmission she has. And so that becomes, you know, just, again, a new practice. It's a practice. I always love the definition of practice. It's the thing we do not to be successful, but to be faithful.
Yeah.
You know, so we just do it. And I look at you, Patricia, and, you know, you're a great gal. You know, we have a great time, and we laugh, and we joke, and we have great lunches, and I love when you come stay at my guest house and all of that good stuff. And then I also know something else about you, and that you have an ability to see into other people that is just jaw-dropping. It's beyond my own. And an ability to manifest a we space that is, you know, bordering on magical, you know, shamanic. And you know, wow, I get to have that in my life too. I don't have to compete with it. I don't have to explain it away. I don't have to anything except appreciate it and get the transmission. And then suddenly then, and then I'm also seeing my own genius and you're reflecting it back to me and we're doing that for each other. And all of a sudden, and this is where we get to what you're talking about, it's not like we have the possibilities of two sort of good, you know, well-educated postmodern adults in America. We have the possibilities that arise among two geniuses who are accounting each other.
Totally.
And who know it. Mm. And that's a whole new ball game. It makes you laugh.
I'm so in love with you.
I'm telling you. What a way to make a buck, huh?
All right, I can get it together here.
Yeah, really.
The part that I want to, you know, just keep looping back out of what you're saying that's so, you know, life-affirming and, you know, should give humanity hope is each other. You know, I mean, that the fact that if we can relate from that place of seeing one another, and then, like you said, you know, I would call that a kind of natural authority. Like you see who someone already is, and that it's a place where, let's say, you know, you're not as developed. You know, I mean, you're just, you know, that isn't the place either karmically or because you paid attention to it that you have as beautiful an access to. And to really allow the other to be who they are, to celebrate that, but then to contribute to you, just because that level of exchange, when it's open the way that you were speaking of it, there's just like with a guru, there's something that then becomes exchanged.
Yes.
And you are then lifted and also activated. You know, there may be blocked places. I mean, there was a friend I had that when I was with her, I would see her and I just burst into tears because her heart was like so insanely open that it would just open something in mine.
Yeah.
You know, like a teacher. And, you know, that we have that. And then the other part too, Jeff, that I feel really hopeful about is that also by, like you said, paying attention to the influence, which you just did so beautifully, and by being interested in one another. I mean, part of the space that you and I are having just through the phone lines and Skype and, you know, this particular thing is because we're really, I know you, you know, we're really paying attention to each other, like, acutely.
Yeah.
And that alone evokes something more. Do you know what I mean? So the attention and the engagement and the interest and, you know, the willingness to really want to be connected and be interested about what's actually happening between us.
Yeah.
So simple, but it makes for our potentials.
Yeah, it does.
Our potentials become activated and the potentials of our relatedness become activated. And humans are like universes. It's like you're a whole universe and so am I. So when we come together, if we turn towards each other correctly, then there's so, you know, then the two universes can do who knows what.
Exactly.
In the dance. So, okay.
Yeah,
so
what a gift is it to actually see somebody else's genius that they may not even have seen.
Yes, mostly vegan.
You know, in fact, I just pulled up this great quote from Martha Graham. It's famous, but it's worth a moment to share. And if I may?
Yeah, please.
Martha Graham, a great New Yorker, right?
Yeah,
genius of dance. And she said, there's a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. Mm-hmm. And I love this part. It is not your business to determine how good it is, or how valuable, or how it compares with other expressions. It's your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You just have to keep yourself open and aware of the urges that motivate you. Keep the channel open. And to help each other do that.
Yeah.
In a way that we've never been helped because, again, the center of gravity of culture keeps pulling us back down. Because for those of us who are, you know, swimming upstream at least.
Right.
And to actually consciously work with helping each other keep our channels open together. Oh, my God, it's hard to overestimate.
Yeah.
You know, what the outcome of that is, or the fruit of that.
Totally. It's interesting, because even in amongst the, you know, the different spiritual people and different teachers and organizations, you know, there's a longing for us to actually be there with each other, because there's still competition, there's still, you know, there's a lesser place that hasn't gotten stabilized. It hasn't gotten stabilized at a higher level yet completely.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder what that is. And, the best I could come up with is it's a certain trust of the system. Mm-hmm. You know, we say in integral theory that the difference between the first tier memes, and this is what we talked about, you know, all the way up to green and postmodernity, and what we call the beginning of the second tier memes or integral forward, and there's, you know, it's endless, is that there's a dropping away of fear that happens in as we move into these new stages of development. So there's a passion without anxiety versus a passion with anxiety. And I'm sort of playing with that a little bit, where I almost don't give a shit how good I look anymore or what the outcome of any interaction is. I mean, I work at just not giving a shit. Because it frees me to just, you know, hope and pain and gain, you know, it's all the same. And, you know, it's not that I don't want to live a good life and make a good contribution and all of that stuff. But in any given circumstance, I'm more and more willing to trust the loving intelligence that is animating me and the we space that I'm engaged in with this other person.
Right, and to just go for it.
And just go for it.
You know what you call that?
What?
It's a new term that Jeff Carrera just told me. CCL, couldn't care less.
Right on, man. Tell Jeff I approve.
I want to get a T-shirt that says CCL.
Yeah, it's a great realization. Who knew, you know, that the highest realization is I couldn't care less.
Not about the important thing, the other person, but just all that, not all the the conversation in your mind of trying to fit into something rather than be in the truth and be real and be authentic and trust that would be enough.
Yeah, I know. Imagine.
Interesting. Okay, so let me see if there's anything else I want to ask before we run out of time.
Yeah.
Do you think that? I mean, one of the things I think is super important in developing kind of like the level of we space that we're working with is commitment, you know, is to actually have people over time, you know, developing, like staying in the conversation, you know, staying in the intensity and the unfoldment. You've worked in a lot of different contexts, you know, both that and not. What do you see as far as the unfoldment of the we space and how important commitment is or not?
Oh, yeah. I just think it's super important. And that's one of the things that I think you and the Evolutionary Collective really have nailed. And it's just so easy to withdraw or run away or shine somebody on or bullshit them.
Right.
If you know that you're not going to have to keep this thing going.
Right.
If you know you have to keep this thing going, then you have to respect it more.
Yeah.
And you have to, it's almost like this is, you know, sort of the great gift of family. These people that you had no part in actually bringing into your life, but there they are.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to deal with them. And there's a power to that.
That's true.
Where you know that, you can't run away. And that is, like I said, it's I think one of the things that you guys are doing in the Evolutionary Collective. And it's something that I don't do actually as well as I could or should. Because, I'm an introvert and I want to run away and I'm always looking for the escape hatch. And I know that about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about our lines of genius. We also see that we have lagging lines.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that, we're developmentally disabled in certain lines of development. And we work with that too. That's good insight. That's good knowledge.
Yeah, totally.
But that's what I got to work with, is the piece that you're talking about here. You know,
yeah,
just staying in the game, staying in the keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm. Which seems like the lower, that's part of the culture, like developing, because it doesn't exist, in existence yet, and we're carving these new grooves,
right.
It does feel like that we have to create these mini cultures where we really stabilize it, like in the purest, strongest way we can. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that the flavor of it and the groove of it is very, very, very palpable and has strength.
No, it's a gift to the world. I mean, what you're doing is added to the storehouse of human wisdom.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I often think of the nuns and these monks back in these medieval monasteries and how they'd literally never leave the walls of the monastery. And
yeah.
What they would do all day is they would pray. And I always thought, thanks a lot. Why don't you get out and help the poor?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how they saw it.
Right.
What they saw was that they were actually creating these new grooves in the cosmos. I mean, they didn't see it that way. They thought they were praising God and, they were pulling the whole system forward and all of that good stuff. But that's essentially what we're doing. When we create these rarefied containers of interpersonal space, like you do in the Evolutionary Collective, and I do here and there, different things.
Yeah, you do too. Absolutely.
It's not go unnoticed by God.
Yeah.
God's very grateful.
That's what keeps me going.
Yes, because so God's evolving too, as it turns out.
So before we run out of, we're going to run out of time in just a minute. First of all, I want to thank you again, Jeff Salzman, and the dailyevolver.com. People should absolutely go to your website and sign up for your newsletter and the opportunity to listen to the things that you and read the things that you're providing. But you also do a Tuesday night call where you speak about current events, right?
Yes. Yeah, we talk about, Obama and, Ted Cruz and, current events, Syria, the whole culture. It's a great way to learn integral, and it's a great way to look at culture and, what's happening. Oh, okay. So, it's dailyevolver.com. You can go there, and then you can sign up for the Tuesday night calls. They're free. All you have to do is dial in the number and the code. It's on the Maestro system. And would love to have any of you join me.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for showing up for Patricia's show today. I'm sure on behalf of Patricia Albert and her listeners, they appreciate all that you've contributed to her show today. And for more information, visit Jeff's website. And give your website one more time, Jeff.
DailyEvolver.com.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, man.
Take care.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you all.
You bet.
Thank you for participating in another Evolutionary Collective Conversation with Patricia Albert. For more information about the Evolutionary Collective and evolutionary relationships, please visit our website at www.evolutionarycollective.com, because the conversation is infinitely juicier with you in it.